You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, April the 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me will be Pastor Mark Smith as we take a look at the hymn, At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing. This hymn reflects the ancient Christian observance of the catechumate. Those are catechism students, and after a period of catechesis, they join the church, and at that time, in the waning darkness of Easter dawn, following baptism, the neophytes were clothed with clean white garments, representing their newfound righteousness in Christ, and were ushered in the earliest hours of the morning to the assembly of believers to receive the Holy Eucharist. It is the hymn of the day for Easter 5 in all three lectionary cycles, and is also appropriate during the Easter Vigil. It is definitely the hymn mentioned of the Paschal blood in stanza 3 and Easter triumph in stanza 7. This makes the hymn especially appropriate during the Easter season. It is not appropriate during Lent due to the alleluias that conclude each stanza. The author is unidentified. The origin of the hymn is unknown. It is found in the Frankish hymnal around the end of the 8th century, but its Demeter iambic suggests that it was written before the qualitative meter became common, during and after the 6th century. It places it in the 5th century, which seems to be reasonable, but it's a hymn for the 5th Sunday of Easter, and with Pastor Mark Smith, we're going to take a look at it. At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing. What is your impression of it, Pastor Smith?
Well, this is one of my favorite Easter hymns. You know, unfortunately, though, because I usually use this hymn as a distribution hymn because I like to sing all 8 verses, but you know what that means, Tom. I hardly ever get to sing it in its entirety because I'm busy with the distribution of the Lord's Supper. But it is a beautiful hymn. Every single verse I love.
So what you're saying, you don't get to sing it because you're distributing, but the congregation
right.
does sing all 8?
Right. Now, of course, now I'm retired, so I'm out in the pew a lot, so then I get to sing it. But during my ministry, I usually had the congregation sing it during the distribution. And I would use it 2 or 3 times during the Easter season.
Yes. Yes. It was originally in the Latin, translated by Robert Campbell, who died in 1868. But we don't know who the original author was, and so it's somewhat not known. All right, 8 verses. So would you begin with verse 1?
At the Lamb's high feast we sing, praise to our victorious King, who has washed us in the tide flowing from his pierced side. Alleluia.
Now, what do you think who has washed us in the tide refers to?
Well, that's the Lamb. That's none other than our Lord Jesus Christ.
Actually, I think it also refers to baptism.
Okay, yeah, right. I wouldn't disagree with that.
And so,
or washed us in the tide, and I not to the exclusion of the Lord's Supper itself.
No. So what's the Lamb's High Feast?
I think it's referring there to the service of Holy Communion.
Yes. Yes. And praise to our victorious King. So Jesus is referred to as King here.
Right.
And that means he is over all. He's the creator of the whole world, and he takes care of us during our whole life.
Right.
All right, state stanza 2. Praise we him whose love divine gives his sacred blood for wine, gives his body for the feast, Christ the victim, Christ the priest. Hallelujah. So he gives his sacred blood for wine and his body for the feast. What do those two things refer to?
That refers there to the real presence of his body and blood in the Lord's Supper.
Yes. When I read that, I usually think he gives the wine for his sacred blood. But here it gives his sacred blood for wine. In other words, by drinking the wine, you are receiving the true blood, and by taking the bread, you're receiving his true body.
That's right. Yeah, definitely this early, and that's an early hymn, of course, and they believed in the real presence of the body and blood in, with, and under the bread and wine.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, because it says it was written in the Latin between the 5th and 10th century. So it's really an early hymn. Now, we've already talked about Jesus as King, but this verse talks about him as both victim and priest. What does that refer to?
Yeah. He's the victim. He's the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb that was nailed to the cross to atone for all of our sins, and he's also the priest. We speak of Christ as being our prophet, priest, and King. He's our mediator between us and God the Father.
Yes, and what did the priest do in the Old Testament?
He sacrificed.
Yes. He sacrificed and also did prayers.
Right.
So Jesus, being the priest, willingly becomes the victim.
Yes. He's the priest as well as the sacrifice, the Lamb
exactly.
of God.
All right. Stanza 3, please.
Where the paschal blood is poured, death's dread angel sheathed the sword. Israel's host triumphant go through the wave that drowns the foe. Alleluia.
What is paschal love?
Okay, that's the Passover. That's a reference to the Passover, where the lamb's blood was spread upon the doorposts and lintels of each of the Israelite households, and where that blood was spread, the destructive angel passed over that house. Incidentally, of course, the Jews are celebrating Passover right now, this week. And wherever that the destructive angel saw that paschal blood, the blood of the lamb, on the doorposts and lintels, he passed over that house, and that household was spared. But where he did not find the blood, the firstborn of that house was slayed.
Firstborn of either human beings or animals.
That is correct. Yeah, that was the final plague that finally forced Pharaoh to let God's people go.
What does it mean he sheathed the sword?
I think that's a neat picture of this was the destructive angel that passed
right
over the house, and in other words, nobody in that house was slayed. And that's the picture that's used. He sheathed the sword. The sword was tucked back in its sheath, and nobody in that household was slayed.
Now the big question. Who was that angel?
Well, I think you think that was Christ himself, right? Am I correct?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know if there's room for difference of opinion on that or not. It was the angel of death. Of course, Christ has that authority, the authority of he's got the keys to the kingdom, and he's the king over life and death. So, as you say, you think that was Christ himself passing over passing over Egypt.
And that will also occur on the day of judgment for those who don't believe in Jesus.
Right.
And Jesus, as God's messenger, as his angel, will not sheathe the sword there. What will happen to those people who don't believe in him?
They'll be confined to hell, of course. They will not, as the message came over loud and clear just before our program started, Christ is the only way to heaven. Those who do not believe in Christ will not finally be saved.
Yes, because that is the way to the Father also. All right, I'll read 4. Praise we Christ, whose blood was shed, paschal victim, paschal bread, with sincerity and love eat we manna from above. Alleluia. Now that's interesting. How many times do people think when they take the Lord's Supper that they're eating manna?
I think most of us distinguish between the manna that was provided the children of Israel throughout their wilderness wandering for 40 years, and they distinguish between that and the very body of our Lord, the bread of life, Jesus, who is with us and whose body is provided in the sacrament. I think most of us distinguish between the two, but it's nevertheless a nice picture, because just as the children of Israel were fed that heavenly manna, so we are provided with the bread of life, Jesus' own body and blood in the sacrament to bring us through our wilderness wandering through all our days.
What would be a proper comparison between the manna received in the wilderness and the bread of life received in the Lord's Supper?
Well, I think Jesus himself makes that distinction. He said our forefathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they were hungry again. But this manna gives us life eternal.
Jesus refers to himself as something. He says, I am the what?
The bread of life. And isn't it interesting? What town was Jesus born in? Bethlehem, which means house of bread.
Yes. And so manna was a miraculous gift given throughout the wilderness proceedings until they reached the land of Canaan, where the manna stopped because they now had sufficient food and fruit. But it was a miraculous item, and I think that's how it is compared to the bread of life we receive in the Lord's Supper. That's also a miraculous item.
They're both, right, they're both miracles. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, stanza 5, please.
Mighty victim from the sky, hell's fierce powers beneath you lie. You have conquered in the fight. You have brought us life and light. Alleluia.
So, what's hell's fierce powers?
That's Satan and all of his demons. Even Satan has been placed under Christ. Satan's been defeated.
Because it says, beneath you lie.
Right.
How would you understand those words?
Well, let's see. There's a passage that I can't think of where it is right now, but that even death and the devil himself has been placed under Jesus now that he's ascended and Satan is finished.
And death is destroyed.
Right.
And that's why we no longer need to have fear of Judgment Day, because there is no eternal death for the believer in Christ. That's really why it's important to tell others about what Jesus did. So, he has conquered in the fight. What was the fight?
The fight is what he came to do when he came to earth, of course, and he started his earthly ministry. He was casting out demons right and left. He was contending. He was invading Satan's domain, earth.
Yeah.
And Satan could stand up to him. No way could Satan stand up to Jesus. Just his word, he had to flee.
Yes. Exactly. People need to realize how important the Lord's Supper is. Okay.
Yes, I would add to that, it's just like that today. Satan cannot stand up to God's word nor his sacrament. He can't tolerate baptism, he can't tolerate the Lord's Supper, he can't tolerate the preaching of God's word.
No, exactly. All right. Stanza 6, please.
Yeah, stanza 5 leads us right into 6, which goes right with it. Now no more can death appall. Now no more the grave enthrall. You have opened paradise, and your saints in you shall rise. Alleluia.
Okay. Children may not understand the word enthrall.
Or appall.
What do those mean?
Yeah, death appall. Death no longer appalls us. We can no longer have to be afraid of death.
Excellent.
And enthrall, the grave enthrall, no longer can the grave hold us. The grave will not hold us forever.
Yes. Now, why the word paradise? Where does that appear in the Bible?
You have opened paradise. Let's see, this very day, Jesus says to the thief next to him on the cross,
exactly,
that confessed him as his Lord, he says, this very day you'll be with me in paradise.
Yes. So that would be the soul of both Jesus and the thief are in heaven on Good Friday.
That's right.
But both bodies go in the grave.
That's right.
And your saints in you shall rise.
Yeah.
Who are the saints in you?
Those are all believers. Those are all believers. And your saints in you shall rise. That's speaking again, I believe, of Jesus, our Savior. Your saints in you. It's only through him that we shall rise. And your saints in you shall rise. So that it makes mention of us being with him, our souls being with him in paradise. And then in the very next line, it talks about the resurrection of our bodies too on the last day.
Yes. And that's really important that we rise from the dead as did Jesus.
Right.
So I'll read stanza 7. Easter triumph, Easter joy. This alone can sin destroy. From sin's power, Lord, set us free. Newborn souls in you to be. Hallelujah. Okay, what's sin's power?
From sin's power, Lord, set us free. Sin no longer has any hold on us, nor death, nor the devil. We're free of the guilt of sin.
Yes, because if we were not, what would happen to us?
We'd be dead. I mean, dead eternally.
Exactly. So sin's power is the curse of sin.
Right.
And we are set free from that. Notice that we are not set free from sin.
No, we daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment.
Excellent.
But Christ has pronounced us, our advocate and our judge has pronounced us guilt-free.
What Bible verses would you use for newborn souls?
Oh, boy. Newborn souls.
Well, how about
born again?
Nicodemus?
When Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again, born of water and the Spirit, to enter the kingdom of God.
And what did David write in the Psalms?
So you're thinking of Psalm 51, right? Psalm 51. Create a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me.
Exactly. And a right spirit or a right soul is the same translation. So when does that occur for we Christians when we get newborn souls?
Well, that'd be a baptism.
Exactly. And that occurs even if we are infants.
That's right.
That's why that's Easter triumph, Easter joy. This alone can sin destroy. So sin is destroyed, death is destroyed, our sins are destroyed in the sense that their power is gone and we are set free from having to pay for our sins. Jesus,
you know, Tom,
for them.
That first line, Easter triumph, Easter joy, would that preclude this hymn from being used on any Sunday, really? You know, we think of every Sunday as being a little Easter.
That's important.
I would have no problem with this hymn being sung virtually every Sunday, except maybe during the season of Lent. But it's always appropriate, especially
in connection
with the Lord's Supper.
What's the reason for not singing during Lent?
Well, because it has alleluias in it.
Yes.
But even, you know, I always make the point, even during Lent, every Sunday, even in the midst of Lent, is still a little Easter.
Yes. It's not counted as the days of Lent.
Right.
All right. Stanza 8, please.
Father, who the crown shall give, Savior, by whose death we live. Spirit, guide through all our days, three in one, your name we praise. Alleluia. And that is that's a doxological verse, meaning that it has a little triangle placed right next to it in the hymnal, meaning that we stand, because it mentions all three persons of the Trinity.
What's the crown?
Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life. Now, here it speaks of the Father who shall give the crown. Now, that's interesting.
Because he gave us the Son, and that's how he's able to give us the crown.
Right.
And that's why all three are mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Because the Savior, we live by his death, and the Spirit guides us. Well, thank you very much for helping us with a very popular Easter hymn, At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing. And join us tomorrow at 9:30, where we will continue with probably taking another look at the readings for the fifth Sunday of Easter. I'm Tom Baker. That was Mark Smith. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.